Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tight Mates Fitness Podcast. We hope you are ready for a massive episode. We're mixing things up today. We've got two guests on. So changing it up, we've got a second timer, Mr. Iron Ryan and Justin Smith. So these two boys have just recently completed an Ironman up in Cairns, and should I say dominated the Ironman. And that also led to them qualifying for Ironman champion, world championships in France. So boys, welcome to the show. But first of all, I thought I'd say bonjour. Is your pal Brandon?
We're going to have to work on that.
Yeah, you're already ahead of us.
Beebs is actually written on the fridge at home, my numbers and a few words that I need to learn.
Okay, well...
It's going horribly.
Well, on that then, how many... Ironmans have you done, but you can only use French.
Oh, oh no. I hope Babes isn't watching. Yeah, what's French for two?
Well, it's fair to say the
would have done it at school.
The boys have a little bit of work to do with their French, but it's under. You've done der. You're on der. Two boys.
You guys are all over it.
And what about, so Justin, you haven't been on here before, so just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks boys for having me on. just a country lad from South Gippsland. Just grew up down there and moved up to the city when I was about 19, 20.
Yep.
And then, played footy my whole life, and then the man next to me got me over into triathlons, and then... here we are today.
So, what made you move into tries?
Well, I sort of just went to Ryan to get a bit of fitness one time.
He was in not the best nick at the time. He just hit me up for just a little bit of casual training to try and get the rig moving again. And then that was, just when I started my triathlon Ironman stuff. Mm. And we played footy against each other back in the day. And he's as we now know, quite the athlete. So once I got him rolling, just never looked back. But yeah, he would have lost, it might have been 10 kilos at the time. We've all been there.
And I think I've seen the before and after photo. Like, you've got it highlight somewhere. Ryan, he does a good job.
100%.
Once we started getting him rolling into that, just took the bull by the horns, and what he's been able to achieve since then, it's just incredible.
Massive.
Man, it's so good having him to train with, because it's just always someone to chase, and like, we're so similar across the board in all three legs. Mm-hmm. So it's always good fun.
Yeah, I've noticed you boys always tend to be super close in all the events that you do together.
In a couple of minutes.
Is it planned, or is it just...
No, it just seems to happen for whatever reason. Like, it's literally... a minute on most things. Like, he'll beat me out of the swim by a minute. I'll get him by 30 seconds on the bike, and then, we run pretty similar. So he finished 3 minutes ahead of me last year, and I finished 2 minutes ahead of him this year. So we're very, very even, which is...
It's good to have that nature too, like you two, because you're obviously going to be somewhat competing. That's going to be in the back of your mind. I know I do it with Brando. Whenever Brando beats me in anything, I suck it up.
Like, as much as it's like you're trying to beat your old time, you do look at someone and you're like, if I could, I want to beat them. Like, I just think it's general nature, and that's good.
It's strange, because not once have I ever really thought, I don't know why that this is. Like, I suppose I am competitive, but not once have I ever thought, like, fuck, I've got to beat him. And I don't know, it's just like the nature of Ironman. Like, you get so deep in a race.
Yeah.
We accidentally find ourselves next to each other, 30K to the run. I'm just like, I just want to hang out. I got no business in trying to like surge ahead or, burn him off. I'm just like, mate, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
You feel the same way.
Yeah, definitely. Like, both races we've ended up together, like both full Ironmans in the run together. And like, we've both been hurting hard, like, look at each other and just be like, I'm struggling, he's like, me too, like, all right, let's, like, we can do this. Like, the help we get from each other, I think, is huge. And we're very lucky that we're so similar that we can actually do that. Like, not too many other people we speak to can sort of be around the same spot, because, like, you're racing for 9, 10, 11 hours. It's quite a big time to lose everyone.
And be so by yourself as well.
We just managed to find each other, help each other, and then just be like, all right, we can do this. And then,
yeah, it's pretty crazy to, like, we ran out of the swim together, we finished the bike together, and then we started the run together. We probably, we would have spent 9 hours and...
of the race together.
30 minutes together before there was any kind of separation towards the end, so... pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that is awesome. So overall, how did you, are you happy with how you went with Cairns?
You go first.
Yeah, I was super stoked with the time and qualifying and everything like that, like super happy. The swim went perfectly, the ride went perfectly, and then I just was a little bit upset with how my run went. Just I had a few nutrition issues with gut, bit of gut health and stuff where I was just battling and had to stop, go to the toilet, stuff like that. I was just a bit annoying, but overall, like, the time I got was exactly what I was after, so I was super stoked. But then in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, if I hadn't got those gut issues, I could have went quicker again.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we'll ever be fully satisfied. I don't know if that's possible, but I was very happy with how I went.
And then on that, were you quite happy with how, like, your training went leading into it as well? Like, was there anything that happened, any injuries or anything like that leading into it that might have...
Yeah, so my training and lead up was pretty crap in the end. I ended up having some lower back issues with my discs, and I think it was like 4 weeks out. I was like, I can't handle this. I was getting off the bike and I'd start running and training and I'd just like freeze up in my back and get some pain, and then the next morning it'd be like a battle to get out of bed, and I was like, what the hell's going on? So I ended up getting some scans done which showed that I had a slight bulge in one of my lower discs.
Yep.
So I actually had to stop and hold, or like take back a bit of my running and stuff that I was doing during training, so that was quite annoying. So yeah, anyway, that was a bit of a setback, but I was still able to do a fair bit of training, like, and manage it and get to the race start, and that was fine. But yeah, just a little issue that happened.
Yeah.
Right.
So what's the question? And was I satisfied? I was very happy with my swim. I PB'd that by 6 minutes from last year.
So good.
And just knowing that, like, if I can see him anywhere on the, in the swim, I know I'm going all right. So, got out of, I think I looked and I felt horrible. Like, my back was seizing up and I was starting to cramp in the swim. It's like, oh no. I tried to hold off to look at how I was going till over halfway.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, saw that I was on track for under an hour. So then that gave me a little bit of a kick. And I just, yeah, knew that I just had to just hold on. So very happy with that. And then onto the bike, yeah, stoked with that. Did a 15-minute PB on the bike. Just felt pretty good the whole day. A little bit of a nutrition issue as well for me. And then once again, just not happy with how I ran. So all my training for my running was exceptional. I was moving so well. And then come to race day, it just wasn't the day for the run. So it was lucky that we both spent 10 minutes on the toilet. So that's how similar we are, because I went first. I felt like I was running with a bag of bricks in my gut, and I was just like, oh, I've got to do it. And I was like, all right, it is what it is, because, you know, I'll be better off for it. And then I was thinking 2 minutes max. And I sat down, didn't stop my watch, obviously, because I wanted to keep going. And I was just like, watching the minutes go by, like, just so sick. And yeah, hit 10 minutes. I was just like, oh, well, it is what it is.
How far into the run were you?
20.
20K?
Yeah.
And you had to take that big break?
Yeah.
10 minutes just then, watching it go down.
Yeah, and then so I got back running. And then all of a sudden, he just popped out just in front of me. Because he would add 10 minutes on me. So then we were together again. And then just cruised along and... I think we ran better than last year, but, you know, it wouldn't have been too bad if you factor out the 10 minutes that was spent stationary. It would have been about a 4:30 pace.
And then what did you end up?
4:55,
yeah. Which is still crazy.
Good. Yeah, so I think a 3:24 marathon.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
So good.
And when did you find out you qualified?
So the next day they do a roll down.
Oh, okay.
So they get everyone together and then they do, they allocate X amount of spots across the board for all the age group athletes. And I think, not 100% sure how many we had in our age groups, but it might have been, say, 10. And then they do a roll down. So the way it works, they'll say, who did a decent time? It's easier. Who did a decent time and is interested in going to World Championships, first of all, because people will pull out.
Mm.
And then they get those people up the front, and then they'll go through order of what they came, and you can either accept or...
decline.
Yeah, decline. But it's quite an expensive thing, as you... sure you can imagine. So a lot of people don't take the spot, but I think come eighth.
No, we both come ninth.
Both come ninth.
Yeah.
Both
in different age groups. So that's how similar.
Everything's out of... What was the time difference between you two for this one?
Two minutes.
Yeah.
And Ryan, you just got in front.
Yeah. Just. I owed him 2 minutes from last year.
So really just like neck and neck, like you two boys. And I'm looking forward to see what happens over in France. It's going to be pretty crazy.
Oh, I'm a bit nervous about this one because I'm giving up about 6.5 kilos to him at the moment. And being a hilly course, I've been obviously doing a lot of training with him, just watching him fight the hills.
You'll find a way somehow to get back to him on the run. I don't know. He's just a track like magnets somehow.
What's the difference in elevation between Cairns?
Cairns was 1100, 1200, and the elevation in France is 2400.
Yeah.
So an extra.
Decent.
Double.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So how's your training varied from Cairns to... now?
So probably added an extra 2 bike sessions a week.
Yeah.
And did the volume of the bikes and a lot more hill work. So the first 40 to 60 kilometers on the France bike leg is straight up a hill. So there's 1,000 meters of elevation in that 20 kilometers.
Mm.
So you knock a fair bit of that out, but it'll be pretty grim. And then it levels out a bit. So just prepping.
These boys will probably be spending a fair bit of time in the Dandenong Ranges or something like that for the next 4 weeks. Yeah.
And then your runnings, is that more flatter?
It's a rolling run, so it'd be fine.
Yeah, get through it easy.
Yeah. Well, it just depends how you come off the bike after the hills. Really blow your quads up and you can run on a downhill and have a real nightmare. It wouldn't matter.
I love it. What do you think your biggest learnings were from Cairns that you can implement now into France? Was there anything that you can think of? Both.
Mine would be prep. Whatever your nutrition you're going to use in a race, make sure you practice that weeks in advance.
Yeah.
So your body can be used to it. I think we both tried something a little new, which we both tell people not to do.
Mm.
Tried something new race day because we'd heard of someone that we thought we should, let's do this. And then I think we both, obviously ended up in the toilet.
And it wasn't much. It was just like an extra cliff bar.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't much
at all. A cliff bar, so what's that?
It's just like a solid, what is it? It's like a carbohydrate bar, I suppose.
Okay.
They're pretty dense bars.
Okay. Yeah. So something you fill you up a little bit.
So yeah. It's got X amount of carbs and a few calories.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll use that next time?
I might not have the fourth one.
Yeah.
Well, even because you'll be in France, so how's the nutrition might alter a little bit.
We'll just
a few more croissants.
We'll have to hold back hard.
I reckon we'll dig into the bag and grab some croissants.
So what you're gonna be there for a week before the ride, or how's
what's happening there? So you're
10 days before.
10 days?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I'll be 6, I think.
Yeah. And what's the climate's pretty
mid-20s at that point. So they're just coming into autumn at that point at the time. So
it's not too bad.
Yeah. Similar to Cairns.
Maybe a little bit cooler.
Less humid.
Yeah. So that'll be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess you can't really base your time from Cairns to France because course completely different.
Yeah,
exactly. We're still struggling to try to work out where we'd sit time wise or stuff like that. Like, it's really hard to sort of work out. And we don't really have a hell of a lot of people that we can go, how did you do it?
I've had a little bit of a look at, like, other people in our age group, where they finished. Because with the Nice course, that's an actual qualifying course as well, just that people do. And it's not like Kona, where it's only the World Championships.
Yeah.
So we, I think there was a race maybe, say, a month ago. So you can kind of get a gauge for where and what times people finished in.
Yeah.
And I've had a look at the top 10, like, they were probably on the bike for an extra 45 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
So 30 to 45 minutes added on the bike, and then everything else should probably stay the same with any luck. But it is a little bit demotivating knowing that you're going to do a slower time. I know it's a harder course.
Yeah.
And it is what it is, but I suppose you just always want to go that one better.
Yeah.
But
it's good that you're aware of it. Like, you can't actually compare that to that. But the following year up in Cairns, if you go up there, you want to smash the old time.
I was actually, we were talking to Justin before, and I was curious, like, how much bigger do you think tries have got in the past few years?
Massive, massive. All endurance sports since COVID.
Yeah.
When the gyms closed and people need something to do, it was something that, and it started off as running, and then, you do that. What's next? So,
yeah.
I'd love to know what the percentages are of how much it's increased. But it seems to be massive now. Like, I didn't even know what a triathlon was 5 years
prior,
ago.
Prior to COVID.
All of us, we were footballers and not playing footy anymore. So, yeah, it is funny how, you know, you try new things and you start to enjoy other things. Football for me was like, that's the only sport that I'm going to play. So I didn't really know any different until, COVID sparked that. So, I think it's been an ignition for many people to move into the endurance world.
Yeah, definitely. And you two boys have done some remarkable things. One thing that I'd love to chat about today is the sub-3-hour marathon. Please, how do you train for something like that? How do you get there? Like, is it something that you've got to put time into? I know some people might get it straight away. Others might need a little bit more work. How do you train for that to get a sub-3?
Oh, I was pretty lucky. I did a sub-3 on my first marathon. So, I'd done a lot of running. I did this my first run or anything. I'd done 2 70.3s.
Yeah.
Ironmans by that point. But I just did it by accident. Like, I was training hard. And I suppose just a mixture of all different types of runs, plenty of hill running, tempo, speed work. So just having a good mix of that. There is one run that I believe is the key to all my running success, and it's a pretty boring one, but it's just 60 minutes at race pace on a treadmill.
Okay.
And so at the start of my prep, I might have been running, say, a 4:30 pace as like my threshold.
Yep.
So that's where I would start, and then every week I'd repeat this same run, but I'd knock 5 or 10 seconds off it.
Yep.
And sit there for an hour until I got my running down to like being able to sit for an hour at 3:40 pace.
Yep.
And then, it's just like from that, you know that the first hour is covered, plus the extra fitness you have.
Yeah.
So you can hold greater than that pace that you need to, being a 4:15 pace to run a sub-3.
Yep.
You know you've got that covered for the first hour.
Mm.
So that's good to know.
It's a good mindset thing to have,
And the fact that I knew that if I got comfortable running at a 3:40 pace, to then run, 35 seconds slower. Easy.
Breeze.
Easy. Easy. But
was it easy?
It was not easy. It was not easy. I think the 36 kilometer mark sneaks up on a lot of people, and that's where it's got me a couple of times. But
nothing good comes easy, Carl.
Yeah.
We know that. We all know that. And how about yourself, Justin? What was your lead into like getting the sub-3? Were you similar to Ryan? First go or?
That was my first marathon outside an Ironman.
Yeah.
So the first time marathon I'd ever done was that last year. Yeah. So I was like, oh, now I need to do one individually. And then, yeah, Ryan trained me up under him to do it. Yeah, so, yeah, there's heaps of running, heaps of hills, heaps of long endurance, like zone two running. Like, that's very important as well to make sure you do those sort of slower paced runs building up to it.
Yeah.
And then do, as Ryan said, to build up the speed as well. So, it was a mixture, but it was, yeah, I only just snuck in. I was like 20 seconds or something under 3 hours.
Doesn't matter. It still counts.
It was so hard because in the race, my watch hit 42.1 outside the G.
Yeah.
So I was, in my head, I'd been tracking it like, all right, I'm just going to make it here.
Yeah.
And then obviously my watch went on the marathon distance. And I still wasn't there, so I had to sprint the G because I didn't know where I was at. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then I just snuck in, which was good, but yeah, it was awesome.
A shit thing that they do is they map out the course as a best case scenario. So if you run in a straight line in the most efficient way,
that's where the
42.2 is.
Yeah.
Right. But then if you're zigzagging around people, you end up running... Yeah, 44 kilometers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that happened to me. Sense. That happened to me the first time as well. I thought I missed it, so okay. I ran through the finish line. I was kicking things, and everyone's like, "Oh my god, you did it!" I was like, "No, I didn't." and then I got the gun time. And it was just under.
But then
I was like, "Well, I'm not leaving anything to chance." So I went back the next year and I just made sure I ran. Yeah. I was trying to run it. I was trying to do a 250, but I left. So I left a few tickets in the bank, and I fucked it late. I ended up doing 2:55.
Oh, still.
I caught myself walking at 38. I was like, nah, I'm gonna miss it. It missed 2:50. So I was gonna crack it in.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh no, I'm just gonna walk off. And then, that's what it does. Yeah, it's crazy. I just slapped myself in the face.
I was actually the same, to be honest, like, because my hamstring sort of was tightening up real high in my bum, and that was like halfway. I knew straight away that I wasn't going to get the time that I wanted to get.
Yeah,
I was like just mentally like zoned out, whereas opposed to the first marathon that I did, like I was just enthused and pumped and like I was feeling good. And then yeah, it's funny how when you compare it to your other marathon or other Ironmans, you just can completely lose it sometimes.
Yeah. Well, like training's definitely a big thing to get your body right physically, but how much do you think mentally comes into play? Like, I know some people can do a lot of the training, but they still can't get their goals that they put out, even though if you look at their numbers, they should be able to get their desired time. Do you think like a mental side of it takes a play?
Huge. You know? Huge, yeah. I see it all the time, like people just putting out impressive performance in training, and then they just simply just talk themselves out of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've got to try and, I think through the tough training sessions, that's where mentally I think I've grown. So I'm not sure exactly how, it's not happening for other people, but it's those sessions where you want to quit, where you're on your limits, you just go that little bit extra. But you gotta replicate what you're gonna do in a race and how you're gonna feel to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
So I think just living in those moments, where in your long run you might do, your 30 Ks, but in the middle of it you'll do 10 1K efforts or something like that. So the back half of your run, you're heavily fatigued and you've given more than what you probably need to in a race because you've done those efforts.
Yeah.
And then the back half of the race, back half of the training session, it's all hurt. And you just got to learn to deal with it. And then when it comes, and it's always going to be worse in a race because you're heightened and you're going a bit harder regardless. So you just got to know how to deal with it when it comes.
Yeah, it could be a bit of a, I don't know, just replication, like just doing things over and over where your mindset might grow over time. But one thing that I was thinking about was, I guess a lot of people train in groups all the time, but when it comes to their marathon day, they might be by themselves. 100%. And do you think that could come into play where people sort of might fade away because they're being used to like running next to someone the whole time?
Yeah, definitely. It's like, as we know, that it is a lot of lot easier and more enjoyable when you're with someone, and I think that's why we always finish together. So yeah, it could be that as well. Like you know yourselves, like it's, you get so much more of a push when you see someone you know or someone's next to you. So people may feel a bit lost when it's just them. I actually don't mind it because I start talking to myself and I'll yell and carry on a bit and it gives me a bit more. But if there's people around me, I won't yell and scream and swear as much. So I can go real dark and I'm by myself. But yeah, everyone's gonna be different, aren't they?
Yeah, that's it. Do you like running by yourself, Justin, or like the groups as well, or
I'd like both.
Yeah,
definitely. I really enjoy run clubs and stuff like that for training wise, and I find the competitive nature there really well with the likes of Ryan and Jesse and a few others. That when we're like sprint training, it's like we're trying to beat each other. It's definitely so. I get more out of myself if I know we're doing that sort of stuff. But then there's also times where I like to just step away from everyone.
Yeah.
And go on a long run maybe by myself, or if I've got efforts, I like to. I think I stick more to my paces and stuff that I want to, rather than running outside or under myself. If that makes sense.
Yeah. No. It definitely makes sense.
So I just try and pick and choose where, and I think both help everyone. I think definitely you need to learn to run by yourself because no endurance sport, there's not a race where you probably won't go dark for a little bit where you think you can't do it, as you were saying. So
yeah,
very important to build yourself physically and mentally.
So I know, David Goggins speaks about the darkness in your time. Do you think you two boys have definitely felt that throughout the Ironmans that you've done or the marathons, or is there a time where you've been so dark that, I don't know, you've thought of some weird things and good things? I don't know. David says, learns the most about life when he's in those areas.
Yeah, there's definitely in those dark moments that I don't think I've gone dark enough. I'm not quite satisfied. Like, I know that I'm going to have to do something really stupid to push the limits a bit more. What do you think that might be?
Ultra.
Oh, probably an ultra. I don't really have any interest in doing an ultra. Like, I'd rather run fast for longer, or for how long. I don't like the idea of like trail cruise and stuff like that.
Even a could be a sub 250 that you're gonna
get. I think it's definitely been hard moments, but like you look at those people that are in the world, they've done some shit. They've seen some shit. Yeah. So we're a little bit away from, I guess, experiencing the full works, but it definitely gets hard.
Yeah. Are you the same, Justin?
Yeah, 100%. Definitely the same in that aspect.
What's your self-talk like when it is hard? Is it like, I want to give up? Is that playing in the back of your mind, or is it more so, let's fucking keep working?
For me, I just repeat stuff in my head.
Affirmations?
I'll just repeat, you know, you're not cramping, keep running, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But having the crew that we do and the support, I just think about all them and like for the Ironman, I wrote a couple of names on my forearms, so I have a little look down every now and then because some people that were close to me and Phoebs and.
Yeah.
What they went through was nothing on, or what we went through in the race is nothing on what they went through. So, you know, what the fuck are you complaining about?
Yeah, we are in a way, I guess, like it's volunteering suffering, whilst other people, I guess, go through other things where they're not volunteering to suffer. So, on that, I guess, so for someone who's like a little bit off getting a sub 3, I know you had an athlete up on the Gold Coast get a sub 3, so you've coached him through it. But for someone like myself, how could I get from a 3:15-ish to a sub 3, do you think?
3:15 is still a phenomenal run. I reckon you've got it in you. You just need to keep the body right. That's the only thing that's limiting you. You know, you move well. You train hard when you are able to train, but it's just, I guess, managing the body and getting it right, so then we don't run into any speed bumps along the way where you have to have you know, a couple of weeks off here and there, and you're running through pain. Like, you've got it in you, no doubt. Like, I've seen you run, you keep up with me. It's not far away. It's just going to be managing the body.
Yeah.
That's and you know, those specific training sessions that go into the prep, like the one I spoke about before. So it's a good one just to repeat. Stay and just see the progression in. But man, you're not that far away at all. I'm just gonna stick at it.
Yeah, no, I'd really love to get one. Yeah. I think I guess for anyone that runs marathons, it's probably a bit of a time that you really want to push for is that sub-3. It's a bit lucrative, I guess. And I guess from there, that probably pushes into our next topic with what maybe I might need to do. I know both of you boys have been into it a lot, but strength training and endurance, how much do you think it plays a role in it?
Huge. Going back to the back issues that I had, I believe that we've found that the lack of strength and conditioning was the reason why.
Yeah.
So I was running, riding, swimming really well, and I was like, I've got it all sorted. Like, this is it. Neglected the strength side of things, and my core and especially my glutes were starting to fail. They were, just weren't strong enough to hold up with what I was doing. Yeah. So my back started to compensate, and I just started to fall apart, and then obviously put all the load on my back and then bulged a disc. So I didn't really think about it enough till now, but I can't stress the importance of it because I've spent a lot of time with rehab, working with certain people to strengthen all that sort of stuff, and my body feels way better. And I think, yeah.
It makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I would definitely recommend for anyone trying to do endurance events. That is one thing you can't neglect. Building strength at the same time as your endurance. So.
Yeah, because like a lot of people have back issues, but it's not directly the back that's the issue. It's the muscles around it that are attached to it. Like you have your hip flexors, your glutes, your hamstrings, even your quads as well. So yeah, it's about focusing on those muscle groups and actually strengthening them up. What's your top three strength exercises for endurance base? Running.
So what we've been doing lately, which has been the biggest help, is just activation exercises.
Yeah.
So really just helping to fire up our glutes mainly. We're very quad dominant, so and very weak through the glutes.
Mm.
Justin's got a bit of a dumper on him, but it's all the show.
All show.
I've got the worst ass. It's like I've got these big powerful legs, no glutes at all. So that's something every session, every day, we're doing our activation for our glutes and stuff like that. And then just a mixture of different lower body exercises, from your squats, front squats, sled pushes have been great for power. And then we do a bit of agility stuff. A lot of Bulgarian split squats, which are always fun. And then your other generic leg exercises when you can squeeze them in.
Yeah.
But we try to put a little bit of purpose to most of the stuff that we do, so it is specific. And then obviously we get a lot of leg strength on the bike doing big gear sessions. So just cranking up the tension on the bike and really just grinding it out.
Yeah.
And condition the quads.
And what's the, cause you do you get many massages as well?
Yeah.
So you both did. How much of a benefit's that?
Massive.
Relieves the huge muscles.
Is that osteo or physio or?
Osteo. So yeah, luckily we have multiple osteos and physios and whatever we need in our group within the I9 community. So we're very lucky to be able to, like, I'll get minimum one treatment a week, and sometimes I can sneak in for two. So it's hugely beneficial to keep these old bodies rolling. And then other things like your recovery boots, we've both got a set at home. Oh. So just live in them when we've got some downtime, and just our recovery sessions. So that activation, the stretching, and our easy spins on the bike, easy runs, just get that blood flow. It's super important.
How do the boots work? Is it pressure?
Yeah, so they're divided into sections. So it might be 10 sections, say. And then each individual section will blow up in at different points.
Yeah.
And what it does is pushes the blood around your body and gets it circulating from your legs up through your body, around your heart. just keeps flushing it. Yeah, while applying the pressure, which is the massage sensation, I suppose.
So and really, have you really noticed the difference with using the boots?
Yes, yeah. So I've done I've done events without using the boots, and like I'm talking about like straight after, and then I've finished events and got straight in them, and how I've pulled up in the days post event have been just like night and day. So it definitely helps to get that blood flow.
Yeah.
It's a pretty holistic approach, isn't it? Like you got to include a lot of different elements if you want to be at your best, I guess. Like you've got your strength training, your recovery. It's a lot that you got to fit in to be able to train at like the way that you guys, like the levels that you are. And I guess that's no doubt why you're heading off to France, because you're able to, you're putting in the time to get your body right to really push forwards. And I guess on top of that, like, so going to France, how far away is that?
6 weeks this weekend. It's Sunday.
Okay. Yeah. So what are the biggest things that you're sort of going to implement over the next 6 weeks with that?
Heels.
That's it.
in terms of training, it'll really start to ramp up now. We've got some consistency back, just building up from, we had a little break after Cairns, and then we've just been slowly building it back up so we can hit our peak at the right time, I suppose. So just trying to stay consistent with the sessions and start to build those hours up again.
Yeah.
And then all those little bits and pieces that go with it, with the strength training, the recovery, which is going to be really, really important to focus in on. And like for me, I'm going to put a big focus on my nutrition as well, because I just need to lose that extra couple of kilos coming in. I guess it's just being structured and well organized, and just doing all the right things, because it sneaks up on you. And you know, it's not forever that you have to implement all this crazy scheduling for around everything else.
Give away the sweets.
so it will sneak up. It's not forever. So just knuckle down for now, and then put ourselves in the best spot we can for the big dance.
I'm looking forward to see how you go. I know Justin was speaking about how sort of Cairns felt like it took forever, and that might have been, you know, through winter it could be quite hard to keep the motivation going. You went through a few things with your injuries, but then you mentioned how quick this training block's going for you guys.
Just, every week's just disappearing. I'm chasing more weeks. But yeah, I would love a couple more training sessions to get in every week. I'm like, oh shit, another week down. So.
And what do you think you'll focus in on heading into it? The same as Ryan?
Nutrition's been massive for me as well. But and then just hills.
You don't have to lose the kilos like Ryan.
I'd still like to lose a couple more.
I think we raced pretty similar.
We did, Cairns,
maybe 84 or 5.
Kilos difference?
I was about 82, 83, I think.
Yeah.
And so what do you think?
I had a couple, and you, what are you down, nearly 80?
I'd be 81 at the minute.
Yeah, and I'm 86 and a half.
So what would you want to get down to?
60.
we have to be realistic 80, here, right?
80 to 82 would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, 79 would be nice.
I haven't been under 80 kilos since I was 14, so.
Ryan looks at a weight and he gains muscle, so.
It's not a bad thing to have, really. Like, I'd take that.
What's the process like with getting your equipment and all your bikes over to France? Is that a logistic nightmare, or?
Yep, it's got to be.
Yeah.
We're trying to look into ways to make it as efficient as possible. Mm. Even going to Cairns, like I was 2-3 kilos over in the things that I needed to take there for 10 days. Trying to pack for 4 weeks with your bike and stuff is a nightmare. Trying to find the most efficient way to get the actual bike there with the stopovers and whatnot, that's something we're still looking into, try and figure it out. There's in around the world, different countries, they do have really efficient bike freight services.
Oh, okay. But we, A bit better than here.
We're still trying to, nail that. And yeah, it's a, it might be $100 to fly to Cairns, and it's about $1,000 to fly it over there each way. So it's
a bit is that like including your bike, or is that separate as well?
That's just for your bike.
Oh, just for your bike.
Just for your bike. Or your bike bag, which is your 30 kilos or whatever it is. So you can fit a few other bits and pieces in there if you can.
Yep.
But yeah, so there'll be a bit of extra luggage tacked on, I'm sure.
It's a bit of the like unknown going over there, isn't it? Like, 100%. I'm sure you boys will learn so much. And I guess like you got to go out and do things like that.
Yeah.
So then you can bring back to your community, share it to everyone. Because I'm sure there's people in your group that inspired to be doing what you guys are doing now.
Yeah, so we'll just test the waters and let everyone know.
I love it. So I guess moving on from there, there's obviously a lot of young people that might be doing the same thing as you guys, sort of transitioning from a sport into endurance. They've seen you guys, what you do. What recommendations, or what do you think, like, I might back off a little bit. What do you think the essentials are to getting into triathlon? Because I know it's quite an expensive sport, but what things do you need to just start?
All right, I'll take this one. Yeah, so it can be a very expensive sport, as we have found out. But, I guess as a beginner, you can literally just get by and just start if you have a bike, if you have running shoes, and if you can swim, then you can get started. You don't have to have all the gear. You don't have to have the most expensive bike. Eventually, once you progress, you can look at those things. But yeah, to get started, you just need the basics. And if it's something that you do find a big interest in and you want to continue on, then you'll obviously upgrade as you go. And then that's when it does get a little bit expensive. But as we spoke about last time, there's worse things to be addicted to and worse things to spend your money on. So
100%.
But yeah.
So it always comes back down to what you truly value. And if you value doing triathlons, then fuck, you invest into that. You buy what you can with what money you have.
Yeah.
So yeah, you definitely make the most of that.
And I think I've got a quote here that I might spill and see what you boys think about it. I read it off an email by James Clear. I get his daily emails. I recommend it. It's actually really good. Keeps you kind of like accountable in life. But his quote is, "Passion is a feeling that follows action. It tends to be created or discovered, not predicted or planned. You don't find your passion, it finds you as you get in the mix and try things." Does that quote there resonate with you boys?
Definitely.
In what way?
Exactly how I sort of fell into it, I reckon. It wasn't by choice. It was just trying new things and then recommendations and stuff like that. And now it's become a massive passion of mine.
Mm.
But not in a million worlds would I have thought that I would be doing this right now. Like, I was so set on footy and doing things, but it's weird how your life just deters you and goes a different way, and then you find out that you absolutely love something that you didn't even look at for 2 seconds beforehand. So I think that's sort of...
And we were kind of speaking upon something like this as well earlier. It was like a lot of your friends, they play footy,
but
they don't understand why you're doing like endurance sports and stuff, but
I don't get it.
I guess like if they went and tried it, they might find this love for it as well.
No, definitely. Yeah, you just don't know unless you give it a go and surround yourself with the right people. So
you just got to get the whip out and get them into it.
That's it.
as it goes, it doesn't. You don't find it finds you. So they've got to be ready.
Yeah, and with coaching for you too.
When the time, yeah. I never thought I was gonna end up here. I always knew I wanted to do something to help people and get into this business and into the fitness industry. Did I think that I would be a full-time coach, 3 years ago when I was still on tools?
Yeah.
And, have hundreds of athletes and have my own triathlon team and running group, and not in a million years. I wanted to help and right place at the right time, maybe.
Yeah, and just... I guess, in a way, credit to you, like, pursuing something that's there. Like, you could have easily just stayed on the tools, but you actually took the leap and found that that's what your passion is. So, yeah, credit to you both.
Just one last thing with your sponsors. So you obviously had a fair few sponsors jump on. How's that process been, and what does it mean to you?
Oh, it was amazing to see all the support. Like, we kind of spoke about it, and we were just like, oh, you know, should we even worry about it? Like, would anyone even be interested, or does anyone even care or like us, or, you know, want to help? And literally, yeah, we got it together, and organized the suits and the prices and stuff like that, and put it out, and within 30 minutes all 12 spots were filled, with a wait list of another 10 businesses probably looking to get involved. So that was incredible, and it means so much to us, because as I've spoken about, it's such an expensive sport, and without the help from people on the outside, we would not be able to do this. Like, it just wouldn't be possible. So it's a surreal feeling, and forever grateful.
That's awesome that you were able to get some support, and I'm sure it definitely goes a long way in, you know, backing you guys to go to France, which is really good. Lads, I think we might finish it up there. Thanks so much for coming on to the show. You're both officially tight mates, Ryan times two. best of luck with France, and I know you boys will smash it over there. So
thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, boys. It's a pleasure.